As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
To the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 20th. I'm J.E. Skeets, out of health and safety protocols, back in the Classic Factory alongside me as always, Tass Mellis.
Welcome back. Skeets, you were missed.
Great podcast yesterday, guys, with Chris Herring. That was very
He was great.
We got our Top Shot Hot Boy Bulls fan number one, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! You got a lot of Bulls gear, right? He's got a new Bulls shirt or sweater or hat on.
I'm very excited they got the win because this is a fresh one. Oh, fresh out fresh. The garden. We're taking it all the way. I got another one waiting. Supply chain issues, though. You gotta be quick when you're visiting bulls.com every single night. So anytime I see something new, beep, boop, 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 before somebody else grabs it before me. Sicko mode.
Awesome. Mm. We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lili was rocking the No Dunks Knicks shirt yesterday when you were talking to Chris Herring about his Blood in the Garden book. I couldn't believe you weren't wearing the John Starks jersey that
year. Yeah, that's a good point.
There?
Yeah, well, I thought, first thing was the No Dunks, you know, I'm a, you know, company man. And I thought I'd put that on, but yeah, I probably should have rocked that.
Right?
Yeah, I've got an Xavier McDaniel one as well. He featured prominently yesterday.
You could have had a boner under the table.
That's why I'm surprised you weren't here. So much boner talk yesterday.
I had to play it safe. And finally, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Well, hopefully we can have a lot of boner talk today, Tully. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second, subscribe, like the video, comment away, make sure you share the show. We've been posting some gold over the last couple days, specifically on our YouTube feed. And I'm not talking just clips from the show. We're doing that as well, right? You know, we had a fun one yesterday about, again, Chris Herring talking about Charles Oakley. And how diabolical he was when it came to gambling and his ingenious ideas to get rookies that didn't have a lot of money to gamble them. We put up clips from the actual show, but we got some original content. I think it's
That's
safe
right,
to say
yeah.
that. Yeah, we put up the road trip to Memphis. TK did a great job.
Little vlog.
I hadn't said vlog.
I honestly couldn't believe seeing the word vlog so much, but everybody still uses the word vlog.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just content at this point. I mean, it's called a vlog the way, like, a podcast is called a podcast. It'll never change. Yeah. But I was like, I thought we had moved past the word vlog.
I don't know why.
We're going to have to start calling you Mo Kirby from now on. <You're right.
laughs> Please do it. Please do.
Yeah, so that's up there. That's like a 5-minute video of our little trip to Memphis to watch the Bulls Grizzlies play on MLK Day. And then we also fired up the cameras in the Classic Factory here and had Lee try Bucky's Beaver Nuggets. So again, a quick little video, some content for you, and people are enjoying that. And we've asked people to send in weird snacks that we could try in the future, too.
It's all beaver and boners this week.
Yeah,
that's all we've been talking about in the
factory.
Right.
So anyway, Just reminding you to go check out the No Dunks YouTube feed, especially if you're just a podcast listener. There's some good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. And let's just get into the games because we got a million of them to talk about. 13 games on last night. Too many games on the schedule.
Too many games.
We're going to try and touch on every single one of them. We've done this before in the past. So let's start with the Nuggets-Clippers game. Jokic, 49-point triple-double as the Nuggets edge the Clips in overtime. Trey, take it away.
I feel like Lee Ellis right now because I'm going to break the rules immediately.
Okay.
Two things from this game.
That's all right.
The first one is the last thing. Come on, Aaron Gordon's game-winning three from the corner. Maybe not even the most impressive part of that play because this pass that Jokic throws, getting double teamed on the right side of the court, kind of halfway in between the post and the 3-point line, almost throws a fadeaway baseball pass. I don't know anything else that you would call that.
Yep.
Only Jokic could throw it though because of the height and the accuracy. And of course he puts it right on the money for Aaron Gordon, who rises, splashes from the corner. Under a second left. He said it was the biggest shot of his career. And what an incredible pass. What an incredible shot. And that's why the second thing has to be the other big thing, which you mentioned, Skeets. Nikola Jokic's line. Insane. 49, 14, and 10. He went 16 of 25 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. Doesn't even matter that Zubac was running wild on the other end. He's like, fine, you can have your 32 points on 15 and 19 shooting. I will one-up you by making defensive plays. Like, Jokic was pretty solid, getting a steal there in the clutch as well. And then, obviously, that pass to Aaron Gordon. Fun stuff from the Nuggets. My guy Big Smooth was texting me right before the show started. Two-time MVP, he says. Mm. Nikola Jokic, he's got to be there. And he's putting up MVP numbers. He's doing his thing. It's just been the team success for the Nuggets hasn't always been there. But great win last night over the Clippers. But,
yeah, I'm just so glad they did get the win in a game like that for a line to sort of even pop more. Because honestly, I think that's the biggest drawback of Jokic's case right now is, and I know Westbrook won it, but I just don't think that's going to happen again if a guy's a little bit over 500.
Really?
I don't think so.
I think Westbrook... in winning it with the triple-double that he averaged that season, and yeah, them being a little bit over 500, I think it does open up the case to guys like Jokic and other potential winners of this in the future. I think Jokic owes Westbrook a thank you.
Maybe he does, yeah. But also, not only that, the list of candidates this year is super strong.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to get into a little bit more of it. Embiid was fantastic last night. Giannis was fantastic. So everyone sort of showed up last night. It's like, all right, let's go. Let's go and have dinner together at the MVP restaurant.
It was a busy night at the restaurant,
yeah,
for sure.
Very.
Oh, my God. Was it ever? What did you think of Jokic's performance?
Well, I do think that it's unlikely for him to win. Even though I picked him to win it, I think what Russell Westbrook had going for him is that he was doing something virtually unprecedented. And that really helped with voters. This guy's got a triple-double in today's era. That hasn't happened in a very, 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 very long time.
And Durant had left.
Yeah.
There was that part of the equation, too.
Yes.
With the narrative aspect.
Yes. Yeah. You got to win in this league, and that's unfortunate for Jokic. I still do think that the Nuggets think they're going to have a playoff push. Because they go and make a move and get Bryn Forbes, which is, not a huge move, but that's a win-now kind of move. They trade a couple parts for their future, and so they think they're going to get better. They think they're probably going to get Jamal Murray back sometime this season. Maybe Michael Porter as well. So there are a few games above 500 here, and Jokic, obviously, the number one reason. Because when you're making passes with two dudes in your face, I think that's the sort of the forgettable part about this. He's got two guys on him.
Oh, draped on him.
Yeah, and he makes at least a 60-foot pass. It's like a baseball pass. It's like a fade soccer throw in. Like both hands on the ball, but he can't like step into it because he's got two guys on him. So he's just kind of fading and dropping it perfectly for Aaron Gordon to drop it in. So they're not falling out of the playoff picture, and they definitely won't fall out of the playoff picture because, as we talked about yesterday, 11 through 15 is poopy. So even in the West, so even if you drop to 7, 8, 9, 10, they won't, but you're still in it no matter what. So all these teams that have some injuries like the Nuggets do, the Clippers obviously on the other side of this one without Kawhi and Paul George for a long time, they're way over the cap. They want to win now. They won't fall out of it, but a very, very nice win for Jokic in the storyline of this MVP thing, because it's about the story, because people are overlooking Jokic. He just doesn't have enough of the because people have a little voting fatigue because he won it last year. He's got to get some more juice in there, and stuff like this helps.
What did you think of the play prior to the awesome pass to Aaron Gordon in the corner? There was this weird incident where it looked like Zubats. It looked like he was almost trying to intentionally foul Jokic, which wouldn't make any sense because he would have fouled out. And, you know, why are you giving that foul? But nothing's called. And then Jokic, like, sort of squirms by him and then gets to the rim and gets the and one. It was just a really strange play going down.
It's referred that Jokic looks like he's playing handball out there. Yeah. Last night, that was like a wrestling match there with him and Zubac. They sort of clattered into each other. But no one was kind of making the foul either. They were almost waiting for the ref to... You know, sometimes it's like the ref just calls a foul on someone in that situation. But it actually cost the Clippers and Zubac because then he just ran inside and laid it in there.
And got fouled.
Yeah, and got fouled. So, but I'm glad there was a no call because it was kind of like... What are you doing? You don't really want to foul him, so we'll let you off the hook. But then he goes and scores anyway, so cost him. But what an incredible game from the Zoo last night. Someone tweeted out a photo of this was what it was. It was Robinson versus Elijah, on a throwback photo, because that was a career high and just a really, really strong performance from Zubac. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Well, something similar happened in our next game, too. Joel Embiid tied his career high with 50 points in very few minutes. They got the win. They beat the Magic. And Mo Bamba, I guess, was either the David Robinson or Hakeem Olajuwon to Embiid last night. Trey, and we'll go back to the big guy for this one.
I think we have to have a 7 foot and over rule for today's show, because it's like we're going to be talking about Jokic, Embiid, Zubats, Mo Bamba. Vooch is going to come up later. Giannis, I assume. So all tallies today. This one, like you're saying, Skeets, almost the two big things, but I really only care about Joel Embiid. Tied that career high with 50 points. I love the way he worked from the inside out, because I thought in the first half, it was almost all layups. Like, the Magic, you know, they got some tall guys. But they don't got anybody that can guard Joel Embiid. No. Bamba was too skinny. Robin Lopez was too slow. And Embiid was just too good. In the second half, the jumper was just automatic for Embiid. I thought that was super impressive. Saw Lee tweeted out, Joel's in his bag tonight.
Oh, God.
I can't disagree. He hit that Dirk fadeaway. That's the one you put up.
Yeah.
But this was not like a bag-like performance to me. It's just different for a post player. They need something a little more rugged. Like,
yeah.
This could be like a toolbox game, a satchel, a knapsack. He was deep in his knapsack.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it just feels different. Like, a bag of tricks to me is like crossovers and spin moves between the legs. Fadeaways and drop steps. You just got to contain it somehow differently. I don't know exactly what you're putting in it.
Yeah, it's funny when you say that, because when I was tweeting, I was like, this isn't either really a bag move. It's just a really smooth move. But I'm just like, he was cooking. And on the broadcast, they were talking about comparing him in that moment to, like, he's got some Hakeem Olajuwon moves.
That. Yeah. Yep.
And that was, to me, just he just got the ball, went in there, turned around, and a gorgeous swish. And after the game, Embiid said, I'm able to be Shaq. And whenever I want, I'm also able to be Dirk, Kobe, or MJ, or any of the guards. I was okay.
That's a lot of confidence.
But, you know, against a team like that, this is when he should be able to go and get an easy 50, because the Magic are not a great team. They don't have a great guy to be able to slow him down. And he just went out there and was feeling it last night and delivered it. And I think that's really good, because Bamba, with the 7 threes in the first half, he was on track to break Klay Thompson. And then Okiki had 6 for 7 himself.
Yeah.
So out of two guys, they were 13 for 15, the Magic, from the field, from three. But in the end, a comfortable win. And they brought Joel to get his 50. And it was like...
He got his 50. If the Magic put up a fight in this game, we may have seen a 70-point game.
Yeah,
possibly. I don't think I'm exaggerating there at all. Because he's either scoring, like, in the post, at the rim, or he gets hacked and he goes to the free throw line and he's knocking those down.
Yeah, 50 in the fewest minutes ever, in 27 minutes.
Wow.
That's an incredible line.
What did Klay do?
I guess he played over 27.
I think he played 29.
He was 29 minutes. Really close. Yeah. Okay.
And you can tell Joel wasn't in his bag by his post-game Instagram as well. The most boring photo in human history. It's just him on the floor with the ball bouncing sort of beside him. I guess he was bringing it up in the backcourt. Dropped 50 on Mo Bamba. Added Mo Bamba as well. but he also said, at real, Mo Bamba gave it to me as well. And then Mo Bamba said, oh, we're doing... What did Bo... He said, here we go again in the comments. Mo Bamba did. Mo Bamba jumped in there.
You have to say his full name, really, don't you?
He's not a one-man, one-name man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I'm pretty sure, the first time in Mo Bamba's career where... He's got the ball, and you can hear the crowd, oh, look, watch out, this guy's going to kill us. And he did, and he locked in those threes. He was looking great.
he was just shooting the same shot every single time from the top of the key, basically one step to the right, and it was money. If he would have been able to keep it up in the second half, it would have definitely been big two things. But I'm seeing the stream team is saying that for a big, it should be in his duffel. It's a big bag.
I don't mind it.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't mind
Joel deep in his duffel tonight.
Oh, I like it. Dipping in the duffel.
Dipping in the duffel. That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Good stuff, stream team. If you're keeping track like I am, Joel Embiid has now gone all the way up to fourth on Basketball Reference's MVP award tracker. Now, you remember, he wasn't there for the longest time. I was starting to get upset. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Hadn't played enough games up to that point. Yeah, but he's up to fourth. Jokic increased his probability lead over Giannis after that big win and big game last night. So it's Jokic, Giannis, KD, Embiid, and then Rudy Gobert holding on to fifth.
Interesting.
Look, I put it in the title of the show to get some clicks, let's be honest. But who do you have as the best center in the NBA right now, like playing at this moment? Because Embiid is on a tear, and Jokic has been a monster.
Yeah.
But where would you lean?
I guess. Okay. I mean, you know, it's not a bad choice, whoever you choose. They're different guys. You know, one's more physical, one's more finesse. But I just think Jokic, when he's playing like a game like he did last night, feels like he can, I don't know, just bring his team up a bit more. Mm-hmm. Embiid's was a bit more of an individual performance, if that's a knock on him at all. But it's not, because he has been unbelievable. He's looking great out there physically for me.
I think he has
shed a few pounds there. I think that's a big thing why he's able to move around as smoothly as he is.
That's the question for me, is he going to get some help? 3 weeks to the deadline today. Does his play here increase Daryl Morey's probability of making a move? Because everybody's, you know, making this a big story about Ben Simmons' four-year contract that he's got. He's got 3 years left on his contract, and Daryl Morey will wait past the deadline. Daryl Morey wants stars, but he's got one on his team in Joel Embiid, and he has to make that dude not only sort of to increase their chances of winning this year, where they're still in it, where the Eastern Conference is opening up a little bit with Durant's injury, but also just for Embiid's psyche, just to tell him, we're trying here. He's going to be 28 in a couple months. So even if he doesn't get a superstar, I do think there's going to be a trade by the deadline. And our friends at The Athletic, all of our insiders, do think that Daryl Morey pulls the trigger, whether or not he gets a superstar. I don't think he will. But 3 weeks to the day, I think this just... Yeah, Morey has to make his star happy. Not only because, you know, Embiid has a bit of a window here, but just because... He knows the game revolves around stars, and you just don't want to piss him off by going through another year of mediocrity, I guess. I mean, the Sixers are still good enough. They just need one more guy.
Well, what did you make of Embiid's comments sort of countering that? He sort of came out and said, like, I'm paraphrasing, but we're good.
I'm good.
We don't need to really do anything because you got me. I mean, I thought it was interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. He sees, before the season, he said, stop booing Ben Simmons to his fans. He's our brother. Maybe he's trying to get Ben back in
Ben's
the lineup.
Ben's not playing. Okay.
I know he's not.
Maybe he's trying.
But Ben, come back.
He might be trying.
Come back, Ben. Come play.
I do not think Ben Simmons will be playing in a Sixers uniform, but fascinating to see if Morey, like you're saying to us, like says, oh my God, this guy is a monster right now. We can trade a guy for more players, but is it the Lillard Beal level? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, I don't know, Grant Barnes type level? More likely, I think we'd all agree, but is that enough? Well, we'll see. We talked
David Robinson. Our friend Derek Bodner, who's been covering the Sixers forever, said that Joel Embiid's last 2 years are the best back-to-back seasons by a Sixer in the last 35 years. And yes, I'm aware of AI and the Chuckster.
Wow.
Nobody's had this much responsibility impact on both sides of the court.
Yeah. I mean, he was the runner-up. He was the runner-up last year.
And now he's dropping 50.
Might win it or go second or third this year. So, I think that's fair.
We got a poll up in the stream team right now. People are getting their votes in. Who's the best big bear, Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid? What do you think? What do you think the results are right now? You know, 20 minutes into the show,
Jokic is leading slightly.
Jokic blowout right now.
Oh, really?
77% of voters going for Nikola Jokic.
Wow.
I mean, he did just have a 49-point triple-double, and he's the reigning MVP. So it's hard to argue against, honestly, either of them. It would be amazing to actually see both of these teams somehow make the finals, right? To see them playing on the biggest stage. Come on, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that surprising to me. Yeah. Embiid misses time all the time. I mean, already has this year. And when you look at least playoff performances to date, it's Jokic by a mile. Like, that's...
That's true.
Yeah. That's the truth. But right now, they're both playing at just this crazy level. All right. Let's keep it going here. Tass, we'll go to you next. Trae Young and his scoring surge sends the Hawks past the Wolves. 134 to 122. There's some crazy games on last night, and this was one of them.
And Trae was in his... day trip bag. I mean, it's a, he's a smaller. I mean, we're not going duffel. Yeah, he took a little day trip here. He had 37 and 14. It's wild. He's already top 10 in NBA history when it comes to 30-point, 10-assist games. And the bag part was the nutmeg at the end.
Yep.
He was doubled at midcourt as the Wolves were trying to pressure, get the ball out of his hands. He nutmegged Jalen Noel post-Christmas. Went for that little nutmeg. Seasonal spice.
Right.
That was a beautiful drop. Look, the last year's Eastern Conference Hawks, Eastern Conference finalist Hawks, snapped a 10-game home losing streak on Monday. Now they've won two in a row at home. Is this a repeat of last season all over again, where they started 14 and 20 and they went on their run? I'm starting to feel somewhat like that, because not just because of Trae. Trae has been phenomenal all season. This isn't just putting up numbers on a bad team, but the defense is coming along because they've been so bad on that. And Onyeka Okongwu, again, their number six pick from last year, beasting it on the defensive end. Five big blocks. He's 6'8" at center. He's undersized. I'm just going straight to the top of undersized guys in NBA history. We've already mentioned David Robinson. We've mentioned Hakeem Olajuwon. We threw an AI and Chuckster in there. He's got some Ben Wallace characteristics.
Yeah, here we go.
Because you can't move the guy. He also does not talk a lot of junk. He just gets under people's skin. Not to go to the Malice in the Palace, but you remember when Ron Artest got in Ben Wallace's face? Like, people hate playing against Onyeka Okongwu in his very, very short career here, but Karl Anthony Towns got pissed at him yesterday. 00 Onyeka doesn't say anything. He just stands there, and you get pissed at me, sure, but you can't really move the guy, even though he's just going to get stronger. And a really, really weird play at the end of the third quarter when Karl Anthony Towns talked junk to Onyeka Okongwu. He had him out on the perimeter. Towns faded, hit a shot at the end of the shot clock, and I went down to the third quarter buzzer, and he kind of kicked his leg out. And he talked junk, so they hit him with the tech, and they wanted to see if it was before the end of game or end of quarter clock went off, right? So they went and checked it out, and then they reversed the freaking thing, and they gave Karl Anthony Towns a flagrant for kicking out his leg and gave him a technical as well and took the points off the board. That was so weird. And so
the
everyone...
refs are strange right now.
We're getting some call-ups.
It's the dog days for the refs right now.
Yeah, and then just a wild one. We'll see later on. An assistant coach put his hand out and made a stop.
Good defense from Vanderbilt.
And Brooklyn. And so Onyeka's beasting it. Our friend Chris Kirshner at The Athletic asked Nate McMillan after the game, "Hey, what do you think when Clint Capella comes back? You think Okongwu's going to start?" And Nate McMillan said... He showed the most personality, as Kirshner said, since he's been there. He said, "Come on, Chris, what are you starting, man? Don't try and start a story here. Capella's our starter, but there's a reason they drafted him, number six. He can take over at some point, and they can still make a trade here to get better.
Right.
I think that's still a possibility. They go get that first-round pick for Cam Reddish. I see a pick in their future. Everybody loves having picks, even though a pick has never scored a point. It makes sense to me. And Kongu, he also was part of the play where Anthony Edwards got ejected in this game in the third quarter. Anthony Edwards didn't get a call trying to go by Kongu, complained to the refs, tossed immediately, double tech. So Hawks win two straight games at home in... They're rallying around each other. Is it last year? No, but it's somewhat.
Well, they're helped
tasty.
As well that Hunter, of course, is back, and
it helps
at least lift their defense. Though, I mean, if you watch the first quarter, it didn't look great in this game. They were getting killed. I think the Wolves had 40-plus points
42.
In the first quarter.
You're
like, oh, boy, here we go. It's going to be a brutal Hawks loss, and they got back into it because the Wolves can never win, apparently, like, the second game of a back-to-back road set.
Yeah, I've got that stat here.
It's insane.
It's 27 consecutive games of losing the second game of a road back-to-back since 2012. This one came in from fly-by-night. Last night. I mean,
so does that count winning the first game of
I
that?
Believe so,
yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
27 straight
times. And that's the thing with the Wolves is they get a really good win against the Knicks the night before. They're up 16 points on a team that is struggling.
Yeah.
And then they get outscored by 25 points themselves in from the first quarter to the third quarter. That just shows how they just can't put four quarters together. It certainly doesn't help when Edwards, who apologized to his teammates after the games, gets ejected. Quick whistle. Still, it happened. You got to move on. But that's the thing with the Wolves. They just they can't seem to almost get out of their own way.
We, or I already plugged our No Dunks YouTube feed. Little shout out to the NBA YouTube feed. Huh. They're getting really good at, like, Trae Young nutmegs the Wolves last night, right? And within hours, they've got, like, a three-minute compilation of all the times Trae Young has nutmegged another player. You know, they're just sitting on it, just waiting for it to happen, update the thumbnail, let it go, let it rip, so...
Good. Who's on the nut cut tonight?
That's exactly right.
If I was going to add one more legend to the mix, Tass.
Yeah, let's do it.
For Onyeka Okongwu, you know who it would be?
Who?
Benoit Benjamin.
Ah, big old tree trunk legs.
Tree trunk legs, man. This guy's got a dumper and some thick thighs. That's why you can't move him.
Yep.
I know Nate McMillan says Clint Capela is their starting five when he comes back. Is going to be a short leash for Clint Capela as the starter, because I think him not playing up to his potential and what we've seen from him in the past has been a huge reason why the Hawks' defense has been bad. Okongwu was a great defender. That's why he was drafted so high. He did great against Giannis in the win against the Bucks, and he was great against Giannis in the playoffs last year as well. Yes. So Hawks are stringing together some wins here. It's their first win streak. Two-game win streak. Yeah. First time they've won back-to-back games, though, since November.
Holy crap. Ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, great. Certainly helps when Trae Young's looking like playoff Trae again, too, in that game.
Well, you brought up Giannis. Let's get to his game. He led the Bucks past the shorthanded Grizzlies 126-114.
So I'm not sure which analogy to go with here, whether it's a heavyweight fight because the Grizzlies, one of the better teams in the West, versus the defending champs. And the defending chance were just like jabbing.
This guy's throwing
jabbing. Just keeping the Grizzlies at bay. Yeah. Or if it's just like Big Brother, Little Brother, where it's like Little Brother's giving Big Brother everything, but Big Brother just at the end of the game says, all right, you've been good, but it's time to close the door. And that's basically what Giannis did. This was a double-digit game for most of, certainly the second half, but it felt closer. You know, it felt like Bucks knew they had to keep playing this entire game because the Grizzlies have shown they fight till the end, and I thought they did another fantastic job of that. Ja Morant, 33 and 14 assists last night. Incredible. Jaren Jackson was fantastic as well. But the big difference really was Giannis. I mean, Giannis, when the game was there to be won, it was him who made some big power moves at both ends of the floor. He finishes with 33 points, 7 for 8 from the free throw line. His free throw shooting is just beautiful right now. I love watching it. 15 rebounds. It was almost like the championship belief that the Bucks are like, okay, we are the better team. The Grizzlies are trying to reach us. They haven't got there yet, and this is why we are the champs, because we can close this game out. Really fun, entertaining game, considering, as I say, it was a double-digit game for most of that second half here. The Grizzlies got close enough, but couldn't finish it off. So, fun game to watch.
Yeah. Any notes from either of you guys on this one?
I don't know if you saw Giannis Antetokounmpo's press conference. He asked the media... I got a joke to tell. Oh. You guys want to hear it? Okay. He's done this before.
Yeah,
done this before.
I didn't see him do this. Yeah, I saw it going around Twitter.
He said, where do the cows go out? Where do they spend their evening?
In the movies.
At the movies.
Yeah.
Moo, good, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Put it on a King of Pops popsicle stick.
Yeah.
Why did he say that? He's like, I just want to share this?
Yeah. Working tell on the joke? I'm not sure. Right. I'm not sure.
I guess you can do whatever you want after you win a title and then you have another great game against good teams.
He had a nice off the backboard to himself last night. Like physically, he's just like, I think, in his prime right now, because he's so strong and so fast and so active. And so, you know, while the shot is still coming around, it's like, God, he looks like he's 7'8" out there sometimes against these opponents. Because, you know, Jaren Jackson's a long, lanky guy, but he looks tiny, I think, compared to Giannis.
Yeah, he's huge, Jaren Jackson Jr. Giannis, like, throws, like, his shoulder down a little bit, and the guy, like, he goes flying.
Yeah.
Here's a question. If Jokic and Embiid are bears, what is Giannis in the wildlife? That's tough. We can ask the stream team, too, for some help here. Maybe you guys have an answer.
I mean, almost like a bison.
I don't know why that made
a bovine-style creature.
I don't know. I mean, to say bison. Yeah.
Or a hippo, because hippos are deceptively quick, yet very powerful.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, maybe he's a hippo.
I don't mind that. No?
Too thick, right?
A little thick for him, yeah. He needs to be a trimmed-down hippo.
Oh, a hippo with, like, a Peloton account. That's what it is. Pacers roll past the Lakers in the fourth quarter for the skid-stopping win. tasks. Lakers lose here. Is Vogel getting fired immediately after we stop recording this podcast?
It's a weird thing going on with the Lakers. Just quick about the Pacers. All their guys on the trade block here, three weeks away. And Miles Turner is out probably past the deadline here. But the other dudes showcasing their talents.
Right.
Quiet triple-double for Domantas Sabonis. Everything going through him. And then Caris LeVert broke Reggie Miller's franchise record of points in a fourth quarter. What?
Wow. Yep.
Dropping 22 in the fourth quarter. Reggie's was 21. So he was blown by Lakers on the perimeter, mainly Russell Westbrook when they got matched up. So Westbrook was yanked with about 4 minutes left in this game. And then the weird stories begin because Russell Westbrook, naturally, everybody wants to talk to him. Well, he was gone. He did not do post-game media. We know LeBron did that a few days ago. And the natural person to sort of talk to about Westbrook is Melo, because Melo adapted at some point to being a, you know, not a primary guy on his team. Mm-hmm. And so people are asking Melo, can he do it? Can he do it? Can he do it? Can he be more of a, you know, secondary guy? And, you know, Melo said all the right things. And I guess this is the even weirder part, getting back to Vogel. ESPN and Dave McMenamin reported that Vogel has been given full authority to sit Westbrook or whoever he wants, even though he was basically coaching for his life last week. But I would hope that a coach would have the full authority to sit a guy. It's so weird. You got LeBron not talking to reporters one day, Westbrook not talking to reporters yesterday, Vogel nearly fired, and then reports that you have to come out and say that this guy has free reign to be a head coach.
He's won a title with his team. Yeah.
We're letting him coach this guy.
Yeah.
If he benches him, we might fire him if they lose. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, Frank.
Yeah, okay. This is their way of saying, well, we let him coach the team as he wanted to, and they still weren't winning, so we had to fire him. I mean, the way they're treating him is just ridiculous right now. And Frank Vogel, you know, they said, well, he went on the plane to Orlando.
I was going to say, he has traveled with the team. I think he's going to get this magic game. If they lose to Orlando, could be.
Like, if you're Vogel right now, you almost may as well just say, you know what, I quit then. Because they're going to fire him at some point. It seems like, unless they come out and definitively say, no, he is coaching no matter what. Now, I know this doesn't mean anything. We've seen it before. And then 2 days later, the guy gets canned.
Yeah.
But I just think the way they're treating him, it's like you're just basically coaching per game right now. If he's not your man, fire him. If he's your man, give him that confidence that he can see out the season, because I just think it's absurd, this like game by game, oh, you might get fired, you might get fired if you don't win. It's really, I think,
with a weird roster, with no Anthony Davis.
Exactly. Yeah, this roster is abysmal as it is, and I just think they're treating him as poorly as you can. For a franchise like the Lakers, they should be much better than this.
Yeah, and they could... They're still good enough to turn this thing around. If Anthony Davis comes back and he was warming up pregame, Frank Vogel, I think, just has to last until Anthony Davis comes back, and then hopefully Davis will go on a good run. He'll be good Anthony Davis. Because I do think this isn't just big media or big organization media talk where there's just a story with everything happening. I do think Frank Vogel's job is... Yeah, it's actually teetering, and AD does change everything if he comes back. So Vogel has to last, but it is unfortunate the way they're treating him. I think, and that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
There's a name you never want to see if your job's in jeopardy, and that is Kurt Rambis. Also, except Linda Rambis, because suddenly their names are back in the news here.
Yeah,
big with the Lakers organization.
Haven't seen
Where's
those
Jim
in a while.
Boylan? He's usually he's ready to take over a head coaching role.
I saw a start bench cut between Vogel, Fizdale.
Okay.
And maybe Rambis. I don't know. I just tuned out. But I saw it on Instagram. You know, we do that with players. Now we're doing it with coaches and assistant coaches. Bug off. I mean, get out of here.
I would never engage with that content. Because I would never want the algorithm to think I'm interested in coaching like that. Yeah. No thanks.
Now, marry, fuck, kill between the three of them. Now we're talking.
Interesting.
And then we got a debate, right? Like, who would you like to have sex with out of those three guys? Serious question.
The third one, because we didn't say who it was. So remember that.
Oh, Kurt Rambis.
No. It changes his mind.
He's all worried now. God, I got to have sex with Kurt Rambis.
Yeah.
All right, our next game. Luka leads the streaking Mavericks to the 102-98 win over the Raptors. I'll take a first stab at this one. I mean, the story is Luka. It's his best game of the season, hands down. I mean, it was season-high 41, but he shot the ball efficiently. definitely one of his best shooting nights, 13 to 24. He hit that big three on poor Scotty Barnes. Barnes was looking like a rookie out there last night, and that was a majority of Luka making him look silly. Anyone that got on Luka last night was getting clowned. Dallas has won its fourth straight game, though, and 10 of their last 11. They have gone from, I believe it was like 9th in the Western Conference, all the way up to 5th, and they're not even that far behind like a home court advantage there in a first-round playoff series. They're back in the mix. And Luka, he's not there yet, but he's parking the car, and he'll be coming into the MVP restaurant very soon. Now, will he be at the table? Probably not, but he'll be in the restaurant because he's like playing some of his best ball in terms of getting the guys victories there. And the Mavericks, and he's talked about it, they're playing a little bit of defense here too, and that has definitely helped out them getting some wins there in the column. So good game from the Mavericks. You know, Brunson, I thought, fantastic. I want to get to the Raptors and what they're doing, especially Tass's take on that in a second, but anything to add with Luka?
Well, I guess you're going to talk about it here. It's just the minutes and the rotation there for the...
Let's go right to it.
Yeah, exactly for the Raptors. Only 7 last night, and the minutes that Freddie and Pascal are playing a lot lately, you know, I mean, they're your best players. We talk about that a lot, play your best players, but at this stage of the season, halfway through, is this a concern that this might catch up with them at some point?
I want to know, Tass, what do you think is honestly going on here? Because this is strange. So, Nurse is playing 7 guys. I mean, it's really 6 guys. Champagne gets some minutes. I think he played less than 10 minutes.
16 in the end.
Okay, 16. Yeah. But this has happened over the last couple of games. So, no Malachi Flynn, no Banton, Delano Banton. You know, they're missing Gary Trent Jr., Ken Burch is out. So, they'll be back soon, and maybe this will be nothing. But is it strange that Van Vliet, Siakam, a lot of these guys are playing, you know, 40-plus minutes in a January game on the road? And, like, what's going on? Is this a mandate from the Raptors front office? Like, no. I want to... What do you think is happening?
I think they've given Nick Nurse the free reins to coach this team. I think he's allowed to coach this team. I think he's saying, listen, last year you guys were in Florida. Now you're in Toronto. You're getting good sleeps. Play 40 minutes plus.
I think it's having a bit of an effect, especially on Van Vliet. It's catching up to him.
He's number one in minutes in the entire NBA, playing 42 minutes. If there's anyone that it's affecting.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's affecting 2 through 7. But yeah, Fred, for sure. Because he's had to take on so much of a bigger role for the first time in his career. And he's playing the most minutes. But he's playing phenomenally. So how can we even really question it? The depth, yeah. I mean, just to give him a break in game, that sort of makes sense. But I don't know. Maybe Nurse has looked at the schedule. We're also watching them play a stretch of championship teams.
Yes.
They're playing really good teams. Nurse said after the game, 3 of the 4, if not 4 of the 4, with championship aspirations for their last 4 games. I love parsing words. So who does he think doesn't have championship aspirations between
Dallas,
the Suns, Bucks, 100. No, he meant Suns, Bucks, Heat, and Mavs the last 4. I guess he's talking about the Mavs. What a dig.
Raptors were in all these games, so...
They're going for
it. Moral victories there, but coming up short on a lot of them. They beat the Bucks.
I have no answer, but the Raps are down to 500 and 10th in the Eastern Conference, which is weird. Does that hurt Fred VanVleet's chances? Is my question. I keep coming back to that. If he keep for the All-Star appearance, if they're down at 10th, that hurts.
Is that why you wore a VanVleet shirt yesterday? Try and help.
I believe obviously he's one of the better guards in the league, but it's tough when you're 10th to get that spot because Trae Young is one of those guys who's going to get that spot as a team that's doesn't have a winning record. So that's all. I don't know.
Yeah, any thoughts from Luka's performance or what the Raptors are doing here, only playing 6 to 7 guys a night?
You got to play more than 7 guys. I think Nick Nurse saw that meme of Chris Boucher going around laying on the sideline. He's like, yeah, that's hilarious. Let's do it every single every single guy. But I mean, honestly, this is just not going to work. This is not a must-win game for the Raptors, so it's kind of silly to play 6.5 guys. I know Malachi Flynn hasn't really been very good. Svi got some minutes early in the season. I don't know exactly who of these other 4 that were suited up you want to play, but they got to play like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just spell some guys so that you can have some juice, because the Raptors scored 22 in each of the last 2 quarters, 23 in the second. They're just running out of gas. And, I mean, Luka figured out what Scotty Barnes is going to do. I'm going to be able to get the step back on him. Got it when it mattered.
Yeah. Our final game until we take our first break, and then we'll get to all the other ones. LaMelo Ball's triple-double. Another triple-double. 4 on last night. Helped carry the Hornets past the Celtics 111-102. What do you think?
I've got lots, actually, from this one. If you hit a 3-pointer and you're blowing kisses, whose bench do you blow it to? The opponents or your own?
The opponents.
Kelly Oubre's blowing kisses to the Hornets bench last night. Okay. I hadn't seen that before. I mean, like that to his own team.
Like Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Okay, yeah. Fine. We had a backboard slap from Jalen McDaniels last night. Really like seeing that. We had a windmill in transition from Miles Bridges to kind of seal the game. But then he, LaMelo, and Terry Rozier were like, yeah, chest bumping each other. Celtics took the ball down the other end. Jason Tatum just dunked it on them. So they gave that back immediately. It was nice. Hilarious. Nice. We had one of the worst missed free throws from the Plum Dog there last night. Wide right, just nowhere near. Mike Breen, great on the call. And then, yeah, you mentioned. So we had a single double. The Plum Dog had 6 and 10. We had a double double from Terry Rozier, 28 and 10. And then we had a triple double from LaMelo, 15, 10 and 10. And almost a quadruple because he had 8 turnovers as well. And then Mike Breen on the call, talking about the Hornets' first playoff series victory ever against the Boston Celtics in the 93 playoffs. This game just had everything. It kept on giving. Right. On top of being a great game and a really strong performance there from the Hornets to get the win on the road. Yep. So, yeah, all of those things I was like, you know, because it's like one thing and I'm like, yeah, we can break down the games, but let's have a little bit more fun of these
sure,
games.
Man. No. Sure, man. You guys can say more than one thing.
Yeah, I mean, the Kelly
Oubre, okay. Man, you can't.
The Kelly Oubre thing, I was like, I'm sure you've got to taunt the opposing bench. I don't think
when Korver did it,
he wasn't doing it at the opponent.
He wasn't doing it anyway.
Korver didn't do it.
I did it. I stopped myself because I wondered who did it. But if you're doing it, I think you just do it up in the air. I don't really think you're doing it to anybody.
He was like, to be his team.
He was
so
delivering
anyway,
it.
Okay. Good to have him back.
I got excited with all the triple-doubles last night. I was like, hold on, was this a record for most triple-doubles in a night? Because we had LaMelo, I just said. We had Jokic, which we talked about. Sabonis got one in the Pacers-Lakers game. And then DeJounte Murray, and we'll get to the Spurs victory a little bit later. He had one. I was like, 4? Wow. And then I looked it up. Nope. We had 6 on St. Patrick's Day in 2021. And that is the all-time record.
The luck of the Irish.
Yeah.
It's the day when people get lucky, that's for sure.
That's exactly right.
But I thought the way that LaMelo Ball got his was hilarious. Miles Bridges told him at the end of the game with 0.2 seconds left, the last possession of the game, if you box out, you get a triple-double. And LaMelo said, oh, yeah. Threw out the elbows, got a board. Trip dub. He didn't even know. Miles said, yeah, do that. Miles said, oh, yeah. That's how I get my trip dub.
Do you think the Hornets are a better team than the Boston Celtics, like, this season? And, like,
probably.
You have more confidence in them in putting up a fight or even winning a first-round series?
The Celtics are one of the most difficult teams to figure out, yeah. I think. They've had some really good wins this season and then some stinkers. Last night wasn't a stinker, but I think the Hornets at their best, yes, I think they're better than the Celtics because Bridges was fantastic. Rozier is very important to them to give them the scoring option. And then LaMelo, you know, he's a bit frustrating as well. He'll take some lower percentage shots, I think, but he works hard. He did almost a Larry Bird move last night where he came in, threw up this, you know, weird old shot, but got his own rebound, fired it out to Terry Rozier, who hit a 3. So he doesn't give up on plays.
Yeah.
I still don't really trust the Hornets to sort of be much more than getting out of the first round at best, I think.
I would imagine the Celtics are going to look a little different in the coming weeks here. And I don't mean trading probably a Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, but, you know, Al Horford's name's being thrown around a lot. Schroeder's name, you know, they're. I don't see how they stand pat here with this team, right?
Yeah. I think they tinker around the edges as well. And Robert Williams' name. Robert Williams just had his first baby, or had a baby anyways. His name is Hendrix. Congratulations to Robert Williams. He's not being moved, it doesn't feel like.
The baby
already? That was quick. A little throw-in. But everybody loves a baby more before he's born, just like everybody loves a draft pick before the pick is made. So now that there's a baby, maybe the baby doesn't get moved.
Interesting. I'm going to have to think about that during the break. It sounded deep.
You get it. The Celtics are back to 500. That's where they belong.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you say that Celtics are tough to figure out, but I saw Tass and Cheeve were exchanging some tweets last night. Tass has cracked the code. If the Celtics get a game over 500, they're losing the next one to go back to 500. It's just the same as the Wolves. These teams are going to end up a perfect 41-41.
Ooh, that's nice. I wonder if you can bet on that at BetMGM. We gotta fire that up. Maybe lay some coin on that. All right, let me take
and all for all the Fred fans, for all the Fred fans, for all the Fred Van Vliet fans, the Fred Van Vliet fans, you gotta be nervous with this Celtics team that's now above the Raptors in the standings. They're both virtually tied, But a Jay or another Jay, it could be picked by an assistant coach. Jalen or Jason could be picked by an assistant coach
over
Fred VanVleet. That's unfortunate. Raptors got to win some games, but they've been playing great teams.
At this point, I'm not sure I want VanVleet to make the All-Star game because he's already played enough minutes. I don't want him to play 15 to 20 minutes in the All-Star game.
Oh, they get the Friday off. They get the Saturday off. Then they get the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off.
Oh, that's true. It is a longer break. Okay, yeah. Let's speaking of breaks, let's take our first one. When we come back, we'll get to the other six games from last night, so don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Dunks. True sicko show today. We're going through every game from last night. We're just over halfway through, but our next one, Tass, Nets hold off the Wizards rally to beat the Washington Zards 119-118. Close game here.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been this close. I'll get to the end in a sec. The Nets hung on after having a lead. The Wiz went on their little run. I want to start with LaMarcus Aldridge because he's kind of forgotten with the Brooklyn Nets this season. We are talking about Kevin Durant, his MVP season. We talk about Kyrie, his scenario, James Harden, obviously, even Patty Mills. We forget about Aldridge. He's been very, 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 very good off the bench. 27 points in this one, 11 of 15. They're going to him in the fourth as their go-to guy, really. They're playing a two-man game with Kyrie. His mid-range shooting, 58% from the mid-range. That's number one in the league. This guy's old. This is number year 16 when he was chosen over Andrea Bargnani as a rookie of the year way back when. That was a long, long time ago. Even though Chuck Swirsky got his vote in for Andrea Bargnani, LaMarcus Aldridge won it that year. Anyways, 58%, number one in the league. And a career high in field goal percentage as well. It's 57% for a guy who shoots it and isn't so close to the rim, but they're going to him. If you remember his story from last year, he played five games, had to retire because of a heart condition. He's obviously come back to win a championship. So this is a guy that you may hear in the playoffs. Oh, we're playing for this guy. Yeah. We're rallying around this guy. Seven-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA. Obviously, if he gets that ring, he's in the hall. I don't think there's any doubt if he gets this ring. He got up to 20,000 points this year as well. And the question is he going to be a key part of their rotation? And I think he could close games as he did with the Wizards yesterday. They're looking for another big to try and battle Giannis, to try and battle Embiid. But when the going gets tough, I think Nick Claxton will be sitting on the bench. De'Ron Sharpe will be sitting on the bench. And Aldridge will be playing. They didn't have him in the playoffs last year. And he is a big, big body. Yeah, he's a little slow defensively, but he is best utilized coming off the bench because then he can be fresh for fourth quarters when they decide, oh yeah, we can win and you can hit open shots because everybody else is going to be guarded except you. So it's great that Aldridge has come back and he is a good story, even though he's sort of flying under the radar because guys like Kyrie Irving are taking some of the spotlight, and you just watch that man dance if you watched that game yesterday. The moves, plentiful with that dude. He's feeling good. Last two games, 30 and 27 on ridiculous percentages himself. Yep. He is just one of the best guards in the league. And getting to that fourth quarter, midway through the fourth, a wild play. The Wizards had the ball beyond the three-point line, sort of above the break, you know, kind of by the scorer's table, tried to make a pass into the corner in front of the Nets bench. And that's when Nets assistant coach David Vanterpool stuck up his hand and got a piece of it.
Yep.
And it was a turnover. And the refs didn't see it because he tipped it, went right to a net. You know, Jason Kidd styles, trying to interfere with the whole ice. Who was that? He got Tyshawn Taylor, maybe? Was that?
I think it might have been Tyshawn Taylor.
Hey, hit me with some ice, Jay. Bring over the ice. Let me dump it on. Anyways, cool move, David Vanterpool. It worked out. Refs missed it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We can't challenge that.
Yeah. Fine them.
I mean,
send a message.
Yeah. It's frustrating, though, if you're Kuz. I mean, no one's allowed to touch the ball, and they shouldn't.
Because they
mean,
hit Vanderpool, the Nets assist coach.
But his hand's out. Kuz.
Yeah, I know.
How much time was left?
5:40, I think.
Ooh, that's too much to replay.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing you should replay for, because, I mean, that should be called. And obviously, it ended up being a close game, so it had some sort of an effect, but it'll never happen.
No, it won't. But it should be a technical foul immediately on the team for interference. But one of those things in a bang-bang moment, the refs, I guess, just didn't see it. But if you look at it, Kuz, the ball definitely bobbles when it comes to him there. Kuz hit another big late three. Looked like it was
the Wizards had a couple chances to win this game.
It was close. Yeah, nearly pulled it off. It was actually, though, just sorry to correct you, Taz, Brandon Roy was the Rookie of the Year that year.
Oh.
LaMarcus was taken second, but Brandon Roy won.
Oh, a fellow Blazer. That's my that's my bad. Yes.
But, yeah, this was a really fun one. And, the LaMarcus Aldridge, because Kuz is a good defender, but LaMarcus was just using that old man strength to just body him, to muscle him, to get to that little mid-ranger that he's made his career on. And without Kevin Durant there, for someone else like him to fill in that offense, I thought was just really important there. Kyrie was good last night. James Harden was okay. Not a great game by his standards, but to get that 27 points from Aldridge, huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I did think Montrezl Harrell was going to pull this out for the Wizards because he had that huge block on Harden.
Oh, yeah.
Then they're going in transition. They don't call a timeout. Kuzma, I think, had a sort of like a pump fake look, if I remember correctly. You know, he misses, but Montrezl Harrell gets the rebound and, like, smartly, like, dishes it to, I think it was Dinwiddie. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to rush the shot because there was very, very little time left, but he gave it a go, and it didn't miss by that much. But in the end, the Nets held on for the victory. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie looked awesome.
He looked awesome. I mean, who knows? It's so hard to talk about Kyrie Irving because he just sat out for half of a season, so he's going to be the freshest all-NBA player that's playing right now.
Right.
Not to mention he gets the rest a ton of time in between every single game, so honestly, he should be scoring 30 points every single time he takes the court. He's got the talent and he's got the legs for it. I don't know. It's just so weird. But yeah, you're right about Aldridge. One of these old guys is going to have to be good for the Nets in the playoffs. Last year, it was Blake Griffin. He did a great job really slopping things up and just being a physical defender. Paul Millsap is around. James Johnson is around. And it was Aldridge last night. One of those four is going to have to do something in the postseason for them to go anywhere, really.
Yeah. In a hypothetical matchup between the Nets and either the Sixers or the Bucks, like you said, like, Aldridge is going to give it all back to either Giannis Embiid, but if he can counter with him just splashing jumper after jumper and sort of like equalize, you know, the big points from either Giannis or Embiid, and then the Nets maybe think that's enough because he's not going to stop him at this point of his career. Mm-hmm. He really is like the old guy at the YMCA. It's like, why is he on defense? Like, he's not even doing anything because he's just that old. And he's big. He's big around the rim. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a giant of a guy. You can deter some shots and get some boards, but he just keeps hitting jumper after jumper, and it's like somebody's yelling, like, are you going to guard this guy? Yeah. I don't care.
I am guarding him. What can I do? You get out here and guard him.
Right. So, all right. Good victory there from the Nets. Let's keep it going. DeRozan and Vucci, baby, lead the way as the Bulls got a much-needed win. They beat the Cavs, who are obviously on a winning streak there, 117-104 in the end, Trey.
One thing, you got to go away to come back. Bulls came in on a 4-game losing streak. Cavs had a 5-game win streak. No LaVine for the Bulls, no Lonzo, no power forwards. But Alex Caruso was back for the first time in about a month, and he brought the vibes. This was a great win for Chicago, coming during the time that it did. You know, they got the Bucks up next, so this was kind of a must win, and you could tell they dominated the paint in this matchup, which I thought was super impressive. They won that 58-48. They won the turnover battle 15-9, which turned into 24 fast break points for the Bulls, which is something they've been missing with Caruso out. DeRozan and sweet Vucci baby, they really closed the door in this one. Finished the game on a 14-2 run. It was a couple of threes from Vooch. He got a layup with a massive pump fake, invited everybody to the party. A lot of these were created by DeMar DeRozan. But that's from last night. And honestly, I'm feeling a little down, guys, because the news coming out today from Shams Charania and others is that Chicago Bulls guard Lonzo Ball has been diagnosed with a small meniscus tear in his left knee, evaluating treatment options. He might try and play through it. He might have a surgical procedure. Either way, it seems like, to me, he should probably have the procedure done and get healthy for the playoffs because Ayo Dosunmu is balling right now. Kobe White is balling right now. If there's anywhere where the Bulls can actually afford to sacrifice some depth it's at the guard position, because like Io was incredible on Garland last night. He's been a solid defensive player since he started his rookie season, and now that he's had a whole bunch of time in the rotation, he's looking aggressive, going to the hoop. He's looking.
That guy is so fast.
He is.
We saw him in person.
Strong, man. Yeah, like Ja Morant eventually got the better of him in the fourth quarter, but he held him in check through the first three. He had a couple of threes in the fourth quarter. Here he looks completely unfazed. So I don't know. It's a bummer that Lonzo's going to be out. Him and Caruso are really what make their defense sing, but I think they can weather the storm with the way the two other guards have been playing.
You agree with that, Lee?
Vucci must have heard you down there in Memphis do something.
He did everything.
Exactly. He was like, I'll show Trey Kirby. I'll show him that I'm back. No, really, just an all-round impressive victory here from the Bulls, who have been playing below their standards. And the Cavs got off to a good start. You know, it was our pick'em game last night, and I thought those big sort of that big front line could really pound the Bulls last night. It didn't work. Although Lowry Markkanen had a bit of a revenge game.
Oh, yeah. 28 totally.
Yeah, he hit 5 threes. He started off really well as well. And so it sort of felt like, you know, yeah, the Cavs, this is just a bit of an awkward matchup here for Chicago. But in the end, they won very comfortably and were going away with it as well.
A great Central Division matchup. I mean, it was a battle out there. Mm-hmm. I think those big Cavs regret a few of those bunnies that they missed at the end of the game. They got offensive rebounds and just couldn't put it back in. The size was there for sure. And I do agree, Lonzo's got a... You don't have to come back right now. He's a support player for this team. The good thing about him is that he knows his role in this team. Even though, you know, we talk about, like Cam Reddish said before the season, I want to get back to my old Cam. Lonzo said the same thing before the season. I want to be back to my old point guard ways. But he's just been a guy who's slotted in really well. And there's other guys who are more important on this team. And he should take his time, because right, they have enough guards to get them a high spot in the playoffs.
Our next game, Lee, you can get us started here. Shorthanded Heat pulled away late to beat the Blazers 104-92. I have a feeling where you're going to start.
Well, the Jimmy Butler ejection.
Yeah.
He gets ejected. He gets two quick tees from different referees, too. Even though he got the foul call on the play, it wasn't from the referee he wanted to call the foul on. So he raged at the ref and deservedly got that tee. And then he seemed to keep going and got a second tee from another ref. And was
the weird
tossed.
Part about that, the second he had turned his back and was walking away from the officials.
The first tee,
in the face of the official, where's the call?
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Sure, dropping F-bombs, whatever. And then, but then, turns around and the second official whistles him.
I think the second official took him sort of being pumped up as him being abused by Jimmy Butler. That's the way I sort of saw it, because he was like so hyped up.
Yeah, but again, he's turned away and he's walking away. It's over.
Look, I mean, it's weird.
He got his tech, deservedly, and then but second tech is crazy.
Yeah, we're talking way too much about referees recently because of the quick ejections, and this is another example of it last night. He'd gotten the tee. The other ref had seen that. That's when you really have to be like, okay, let's give it a little bit of extra time here.
Yeah.
Because he's been given the one that he's earned. Anyway, so he got ejected. Obviously, he wasn't happy. But there's Steve Jones on Twitter put up a couple of really impressive Heat defense clips last night. If you're a sicko,
ooh, that's some sicko shit. Right
go
there,
and check out this Miami Heat defense, because this is what they are known for. And Eric Spoelstra talked about it after the game. He said, "I'm sure my boss would be happy with that performance." His boss being Pat Riley. It's weird for him to call him my boss, but this is what I think gives the
JD's
Heat.
JD's my boss. That's just as weird.
This is what makes you believe in the Heat defensively. Their execution, their rotation, their movement. Everyone was just right in the spot they needed to be, creating turnovers, making tough shots. Now, the Blazers are missing Lillard still, and they've got nothing on the bench at all, and they hung in this game. But the Heat just put the clamps on them, especially in that fourth quarter, to shut this one out without Kyle Lowry and Jimmy. As we mentioned, they're missing most of the game.
Yeah.
So really, really impressive victory in the end. But, man, when they are on that same plane, and when we talk about Heat culture, that to me, go and check out these clips, as I said, from Steve Jones, to see just how well this team defends. It's really, really impressive.
Miami 29-16, still tied atop the Eastern Conference standings there, and playing some of their best ball of the season. And that's with, like we talked about, you know, Bam was gone for a lot, he's back, and even Jimmy in and out of games, be it starting games and getting tossed or missing it entirely. They just have all these guys tasked contributing. And Spoelstra, I think, this is going to be weird to say, he's going to warrant some Coach of the Year consideration again.
I don't think that's weird.
If they're at the top of the East, again, with all that's happened and some of these like no-name guys to the casual fan and getting these victories, I think he rightly probably would warrant some consideration. Has he won one? Or is he one of those weird coaches?
He has.
I think so.
Oh, I thought he was one of those weird coaches where it's like, he doesn't have one?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
No, I don't see him there.
Yeah, I don't think he does. See, it's weird.
Shocking.
Well, come on. You remember that year. LaMarcus Aldridge was the rookie of the year. Eric Spoelstra, coach of the year. It was a good year.
Yeah. What are you calling? You're calling me out because I said that LaMarcus Aldridge was rookie of the year. Is that what you're
saying? I would never.
But you did have the Bargnani part correct, right?
Of course. I get everything correct.
Yes, over Brandon.
And the Tyshawn Taylor,
That was big. That was the deepest pull.
Aldridge was actually drafted by the Bulls, wasn't he? I believe. And then traded for Tyrus.
How dare you say that? How dare you mention that?
Yeah, he was traded for Tyrus Thomas.
Yes. Ooh, damn. Yeah.
Who won that trade? You're taking that one.
Yeah.
Well, how many championships does Tyrus Thomas have?
Mm. I tell you,
same as LaMarcus Aldridge,
that's
my point.
And Nyeka Okongwu.
All right. Anything else to add to the Heat there?
They're good.
No,
Hero as well. No Lowry as well. They score enough points.
Yeah, it's like, Struce and
Guy.
Seriously, I mean,
the Heat are so good, they literally run a guy out there named Guy, and he's good. He makes threes. That's all you got
to
do.
And they signed him for the rest of the season, too, so great.
There you go. Way to go, Guy. Next game, DeJounte Murray has a triple-double as the Spurs roll past the Thunder 118-96. 23-14-10 for DeJounte Murray. His eighth triple-double of the season, 12th of his career. Pop said after the game, quote, like I say after every game, Murray's been playing all-star basketball. He would be in consideration if we had a better record. He's growing by leaps and bounds in every way. So you sort of like you were bringing up Van Vliet and what he's doing for the Raptors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if the record's not that great, does he get in? Same thing is happening here with DeJounte Murray. Even Pop is saying it. Like, you know, if we have more wins, he's a no-brainer. Even the way it is now, I think he could even get in here, Tass. I think it's not that far-fetched.
And I think Pop has changed as well. DeJounte Murray went between his legs, his own legs.
Yeah. Self-nutmeg.
Yeah, to drop a pass to Drew Eubanks for a jam. And he went back to the bench and he was doing the signal, demonstrating what he did through his own legs. That shouldn't happen on a Greg Popovich team, but he's cool with it. They were up like 25 at the time, too. Is that showboating? I don't know. Mm. Pop don't care. Good for them. Yeah, good for DeJounte Murray. Yeah, I think he probably misses out. It's a tough spot as well in the Western Conference. But I think he looks over at Ja Morant and says, man, I'm going to try and be that dude. I'm going to try as hard as I can to improve my three-point shot like Ja Morant has and continue with the handles and the moves. He looks great.
I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but do you see a little crack there for Murray to actually get an all-star berth here?
Unfortunately, no, because, look, Luke is getting in. There's two Suns are going to get in. Steph's going to get in.
John Morant's
going to get in.
That's five guards right there.
So
there might be a spot or two, though.
It's possible. Shaquille just Alexander. Nah, of course not.
What about Mr. Donovan?
Donovan Mitchell,
of course. Yeah, another one. So, no, I don't really see that being enough. And the Spurs...
Injury replacement possibility.
I guess so, yeah. But I think they dropped six of their last eight as well. So, again, timing is important. You know, you've got to be winning and playing really well, I think, to force your way in when you're someone like DeJounte Murray.
Okay, trivia question with DeJounte Murray and his triple-doubles there. I said he's up to a dozen. Second in franchise history. Can you name who has the most and then name, third, fourth, and fifth? Spurs franchise triple-doubles. Who's got the most?
Not Duncan.
No, Duncan is fifth on the list. Yeah. Well, he has four.
Yeah.
Four I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of strange.
Kawhi?
No.
No?
Ginobili?
No.
Tony Parker.
Yeah. No, Alvin Robertson.
Alvin Robertson is third with eight, so you're missing the number one guy.
David
still.
Robinson?
David Robinson, 14. I wonder how many of those came with blocks there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then one more. This will be the toughest. I'll just probably tell you. Good old Johnny Moore.
Good old Johnny Moore.
Double zero, I think he was. Johnny.
So there you go. One other thing, important thing from this game.
What?
We had our first wedgie of 2022. Wow. We've been going weeks without a wedgie.
I forgot about wedgies.
I know, but Devin Vassell, nice. Spurs forward there, sticking the three-point wedgie
on
the side. They didn't let it breathe very long. I think the Thunder were pissed off.
But that's a snowflake in terms of the dismount. You don't usually see a guy pop it out and it rolls over the heel of the rim.
Very true. Very, very pretty there. So, way to go, Devin. Wedgie Tracker has updated it. We're at 23. Pace is a little lower than we would like. You know, we always want to hit 50, but they come in bunches, so maybe we get a couple more here in the next couple days and over the weekend, because it had been, I think it had I think it was something like December 28th or something was our last wedgie. God.
Too long.
A couple other games. Gary Bird scores 23 as the Rockets rally past the scuffling Jazz. AP going with scuffling in the headline. 116-111, TK.
Let me paint the picture for you here. It's 8:09 a.m. Slack message comes across.
Is that what it sounds like?
I don't know. How do you make that sound? You hear it on commercials. Yeah, yeah. People hate it. It's Skeets.
Yeah.
One game open. Rocks Jazz. If someone wants to comment on Gary Bird.
I teed you up.
Give me Gary. Bombs away for Gary last night. 5 threes. And they were all deep.
Yeah.
Like, they might have been deep enough that it was actually 6 3-pointers. If you add up the extra distance from three-point line to where he made it. And that was really the story of the game. For the Rockets, they made 22 threes last night. You make 22 threes, you got a good chance of winning. Especially against a team like the Jazz, who were missing Donovan Mitchell as he was in the OG protocols. 6 losses in 7 games, though, for the Jazz. Yeah. Those have come with missing one of their two best players for the most part. And, yeah, I mean, you could be worried about the Jazz, but there's no team I would be less worried about than the Jazz. It's like, who cares if they lose 6 games in the middle of January? It's obviously not ideal for seeding and stuff, but we know this is a good team. And we know that they are going to play defense, and we know that they're going to be fine come playoff time. The question remains in the playoffs, you know? If the Jazz win 12 and we're like, who cares? The Jazz won 12. Then I feel the exact same way. Who cares? They lost 6 of 7. We still got to see it in the playoffs. This doesn't matter at this point.
I'm glad you said that. Yep. That's exactly how I think about it, too. It's like, we just keep saying when they win a bunch of games, well, show us in the playoffs. Unfortunately, we know you're a good team, but you've floundered a couple times. So there's not much to say. But if they lose, like you just said, then we have to do the exact same. I think that's exactly, especially with them missing guys. Yeah. Would you agree with this, Lee?
For the most part, They're 14-9 at home, though, this season. Mm-hmm. This is usually a team that you sort of bank on winning, you know, 35 out of a normal 41-game season. Sort of home games, they just have that domination, and they certainly haven't been that. I understand they're missing Donovan and they've missed Rudy, but against the Rockets, that still should be enough. Like it was when they lost to the Pistons, there was no Rudy, I think, in that game. They should still beat these bad teams because they've got basically, for the most part, everybody else playing. So a little concerned, but they'll get back on track and probably rattle off 10 in a row at some point.
Right.
And then we'll go, yep, they're back. But it doesn't really matter until April rolls around.
Final game here. Oh, my God, we almost did it. Corey Joseph hit the game winner as the Pistons rallied to stun the Kings, 133-131. A high scoring
stunned.
Affair.
Yeah. Are the Kings ever stunned when they lose?
I mean, even the Kings, when they're up 10 points with like 2 minutes to go, you should still win that game. I don't care if you're the Kangs. But let's start with the good for Detroit, and then we'll make our way to Sacramento. Corey Joseph, like I said, 14-foot jumper there, sort of rattled it home with about 25 seconds ago. Capped off a game-ending 11-0 run for the Pistons. They should not have won this game. Sadiq Bey, though, hit a big three. He had 30 points, and the Pistons are winning some games here. You know, they've won 4 of their last 7. That's good for them. And Kelly Olynyk returned. He's back. Season-high 22 points, 9 boards in his first game since November. He's been on a very, very long time. And, you know, he is good. And I do wonder, I mean, I can't imagine the Pistons think Kelly Olynyk plays into their long-term plans. He helps them, as we saw in this game. But would a team at the trade deadline want Kelly Olynyk on their squad? I think they would.
He was a Miami Heat lifer as well. Like, he can play, and he can if you're looking for the top tier talent and that doesn't work out, like the Lakers, why the heck not? Wouldn't they reach for somebody like Kelly Olynyk to help spread the floor around Russell Westbrook? That's the way they got to play. AD is obviously their 5. Anyways, yes, somebody's got to be looking for Kelly O.
Probably.
Yeah, and it's good for timing for that he came back, and that's what these types of teams should be doing that are rebuilding. They should be trading their vets at times to get a pick.
As for the Kings, my God. Again, if you check the win probability, like little chart of this game, they were at 99.2% or something, and they lose the game. They're not in overtime. They lose it in regulation. It's so stupid. They're such a dumb team. And Shams reported yesterday that the Kings organization, their current mindset here is to not trade De'Aaron Fox. Now, from all I've been hearing and seeing from De'Aaron Fox over the last couple weeks, both the way he's playing, sort of his body language, what he says after games, I was convinced this guy is getting moved.
His current mindset is, I would like to be traded.
Yeah. So I tweeted before Shams yesterday, I was like, I'm 100% convinced De'Aaron Fox is going to get traded here before the deadline. Shams says, the Kings think otherwise.
Did he reply to you?
No.
Okay.
He actually just had it as a story by himself. He said, quote, the Kings remain active in trade conversations, informing teams in the marketplace that they want to build around Fox and second-year guard Tyrese Haliburton. So Shams is saying, or his sources are saying, that the Kings are going to keep Fox and Haliburton, but you can call us and we can talk about anybody else. You know, Barnes and Buddy Hield and maybe even Mitchell and Holmes and have at it. But we're going to try and make this work with Fox and Haliburton. So I guess the first question is this, do you think this is wise by the Kings to, if this is true, to stick with Fox? Now, I know it depends on what the hell's coming back for De'Aaron Fox, but like, is this ever going to work with this sort of current guard sort of setup?
I think Fox is a better player than he's shown this season, but he's just worn down from years of coaching changes and losing, and he just can't seem to get out of that funk that he's in as far as just his body language right now. But if you are going to trade him, you want to make sure you get something back of equal sort of potential and talent, and don't just say, well, we need to change things up, because then you're just staying on this same repetitive cycle of nothingness. It's tough for the Kings right now. It certainly sounds like there's more talk of a Ben Simmons to the Kings thing. It sounds like it. Exactly. But then you hear some quotes of Daryl Morey and he's like, no, we're not interested in anything of that. So I just think if you're the Kings, you drafted Fox high. He's been there last season. He was probably his best season, and he just hasn't been able to get back there. But how much of that is on the franchise as well? Just that instability and the chaos there that is continually following this franchise around. So I wouldn't trade him unless you're like, yeah, we're getting a star in return.
So you would trade him for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I guess if you're the Kings,
some sort of deal. Yeah.
If that's what you're getting back, then you're getting a young star with talent and upside
under contract.
Yeah.
And plays defense.
Exactly. You're not getting a guy who's like an expiring next season, and it's like he's not sticking around. You've at least got a chance with him, I think.
What do you think, Trey? Again, the reports of at least the Kings saying, no, we're not trading Fox. We're going to keep him and Haliburton, and we'll figure it out.
It seems a little to me like De'Aaron Fox has been offered around to the league, and nobody's taken because he's on a pretty big contract. He signed until the 2026 season, and that to me is what's happened to De'Aaron Fox. He played an incredible year last year, signed a Supermax, and now he's ready to say, see ya, Sacramento. So he's slacking this year. He's completely slacking, and that's got to be distasteful if you're a team that's thinking, are we going to want to be paying this guy for the next 5 years? Is he really going to raise our ceiling? If you're the Sixers, he'll be better on whichever team he's on next, guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I think that this is a little bit of smoke signals from Sacramento, because De'Aaron Fox should be on the trade block for them.
I think he is on the trade block, whether or not they're throwing out these lines to make you feel like maybe you want to bid a little bit more for De'Aaron Fox. But I think that there's
playing hardball.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a possibility he gets moved. And to jump to the Pistons, another vet that you talked about briefly there, Dwayne Casey, said after the game, I love Corey Joseph. Yeah. You love that guy, and he should be a backup point guard for a really good team.
Right.
He's really solid. Two Canucks, two Canadians, Kelly Olynyk and Corey Joseph, that could be moved for sure. We saw Rajon Rondo dealt to the Cavs this year. You know, DeLon Wright became the Hawks' backup point guard. Corey Joseph could be that guy for a bunch of teams. He could be your Tyus Jones. He's good, so I think he gets moved too.
I believe, I may have this wrong, I think it was Chris Black this morning on Twitter said Raptors should offer Dragic and some pick to the Pistons for Kelly Olynyk and Corey Joseph. Bring some Canadians home. Just to bolster that roster. Give them some minutes.
They would help.
They would help. Yeah.
They would.
You start to question, like, do you really want to give up draft capital for
those guys?
No, I didn't. That's a cornball move, to be quite honest. Just bringing guys back because they're Canadian.
Well, no, I don't think that's what his reasoning was.
I thought it was I mean, Dragic doesn't play for them, so.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, trade him, yeah.
Right. We will see. Let's take our final break when we come back. I have a fascinating Tweet of the Night question by way of the Wizards for all of you to answer, JD included, our boss, and everybody in the stream team. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, I'm giving myself Tweet of the Night.
Congrats.
Why not? Little pat on the back. Great tweet from me. No, I saw something in the Nets-Wizards game. It made me laugh. I thought it would be a great question for you guys. The Wizards game operations crew, they're always asking these funny questions to their players in like little videos. And the one last night was, would you rather be stuck in Jurassic Park or Hunger Games? So they asked a question. Then they play a clip of like all their players, you know, like giving their reasons why they're picking one over the other. So let's ask you guys here. Let's ask the stream team. Let's ask everybody listening to the podcast. JD, you like these type of movies and books. So would you rather be stuck in Jurassic Park or Hunger Games?
Well, this caused a massive fight in our house last night. Yeah. Because I, you know, same thing as Trey was talking about earlier, Slack. Whatever.
Well, that was good.
This is likely Tweet of the Night. Yep. Would you rather be stuck in Jurassic Park or Hunger Games? And I looked at the responses to the tweet, and unanimous Jurassic Park.
A lot of Jurassic Park folks.
Unanimous in this house, Jurassic Park. But I'm Hunger Games, 100%.
Okay, why?
Because Jurassic Park has thousands of dinosaurs on it. 23 teenagers I'd have to take out to get out of the Hunger Games.
Your chances.
Yeah. I mean, factor in the game makers or whatever. Yeah. You know, they're throwing fire at you and raining blood and tracker jackers or whatever the hell they're called. But velociraptors? No. No, I don't want to be on Jurassic Park. That's a no-brainer for me, and I think I'm way in the minority, but I don't know.
Well, it's funny you said that. A lot of the Wizards players were agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
So they were actually picking Hunger Games the clip. But there were some votes for Jurassic Park. What about you, Lee? You agree with JD?
JD sounds like a dinosaur up there. I'm going with JP all the way.
Wow.
I think Jurassic Park would be fascinating to visit.
Oh, my God. Fascinating.
Oh, well, you've got creatures millions of years old. I mean, it'd be, you going Cretaceous period, or are you going, what's that other period?
Paleolithic, of course. Yeah. Jurassic period, yeah. I think, is one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping on the pterodactyls, you really can go flying on the back of them and just hanging out with the stegosaurus.
Sorry, have you seen the movie?
They don't hang out.
Yeah, there's no hanging out and flying. playing on pterodactyls.
I'm assuming, though, it's been, you know, catered so that you can actually do that sort of stuff these days. So
so you think it's like, it's a this is classic you. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I'll go to Jurassic Park. Why not? What could go wrong, right?
Yeah. Everything. Everything could go wrong.
Yeah, but it'd be fun just to be around those animals, wouldn't it?
So you think that outweighs just being around them, whether or not they actually kill you in the end, is better than being hunted in the Hunger Games, which is fair.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tass, what do you think?
The question is dinos versus humans.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to.
Right.
Yeah, I'm battling a human. 100%. I'm doing the Hunger Games. Of course. I would put it on for my district. No doubt.
Put it on for my district.
Yes, I would be a tribute, and I would absolutely go nuts out there. As in, I would lose my mind.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, you're going to lose your mind out there. I'd lose my mind in Jurassic Park. I'd lose my mind on Survivor. But that's a positive, because I am going to murder people. I mean, that's the game. I guess that's what you have to do.
Just playing the game.
Those are the rules.
I'm not going to be a Tony Vlahos and hang out in a tree. I'm going to kill.
Sometimes so you gotta be aggressive.
Rest.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes you need to rest, I guess, and hang out in a tree. But I think, I just don't want to be eaten by a dino. Yeah, and dinos are going to eat me. I'm not going to defeat
all of them,
a dino.
Though. There's enough.
Wow, that's it. That's a good point.
Herbivores out there, just stay close to them.
Right.
You know, stay close to your
stegosaurus. What's your favorite dinosaur?
Yeah, the Stegy's up there. I like the Ankylosaurus. I like the Ankylosaurus because the Ankylosaurus, as our boy.
What the hell is that one?
Yeah, it's a new one, isn't it? Yeah, it wasn't around when we were kids.
What are you talking about?
It's got big plated like back, and it's got a big tail with a big round thing.
I thought that
spike.
Was the Stegosaurus.
No. The Stegosaurus has got the plates like
these
spine.
Are different.
Yeah. The Ankylosaurus though, like it's tough because if a T-Rex comes after it, it's like T-Rex is biting through all those plates so it can defend itself.
So they just found a new one.
Finding dinosaurs. Like they found another one like 3 weeks ago. It was a massive one. I'm like, how did they skip over that? I mean, it's incredible.
Doesn't it make you think a little bit that big dinos like, people aren't buying dino figures like they used to. Let's just make up a new one. Introduce a new character. Yeah.
Well, I always thought the Brontosaurus was the biggest. But now there is the Argentinosaurus, which is like even... I know, never
what
even
is
heard
going
of it.
On?
I know. Well, sorry. Jesus. But that's it's funny because I've actually got a dinosaur book from when I was a kid, and now we have dinosaur books for our own kids. And I'm like, oh, man, they've found stuff in the last 30 years
that
didn't exist. So.
All right. Okay, so what's your answer?
How long do you have to survive?
Yeah, it does say stuck. I mean, I guess it's
one night. That's what it is. How long are they there in Jurassic Park?
I would say you're stuck more than a night.
Well, yeah.
Let's go.
In the original, there is one night, I believe.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
Easy.
Don't take a shit. That's how you die in Jurassic Park. Right? There's a guy on the toilet.
Yeah, shit smeller.
Glop! If you can hold it for 24 hours, you're good.
Yeah, I guess in... What was the last one? The last Jurassic Park. He pours the gasoline over him so that
hold
they
on, I haven't seen it. So. spoilers.
Yeah, it starts off all right, but at the end, it's a bit crazy.
See, that's what you're thinking. Like, isn't there's one of the Jurassic Park or World or whatever where he's like taming?
That's the most recent one, which is
Jurassic least, World.
Yeah,
right?
5 years ago now.
Is that a Chris? That's a Chris.
That's a Pratt. That's a
Pratt. Also, a Pratt.
And Ron Howard's daughter is the lead lady.
Bryce
in that.
Dallas. Have some.
That's right. I couldn't remember her name. Dallas Bryce. Or Bryce Dallas, but in the end, it's like she goes. Oh, I'm going to spoil it. Who cares? She goes.
I don't care. I'm not going
to. She goes to the bullpen to get out the T-Rex to come and save him. She's directing it like it's an aeroplane. It's like, all right, come on, you lost me there. Because they create their own dinosaur in that one, which is a fine idea.
But then is it?
Well, sure. They're running out of ideas. Anyway, it's like then this dinosaur turns on them. It hangs out with the Velociraptors, and they start communicating with each other and all this. And then it's like, we need the T-Rex. And he, you know, it's like he does come trudging out and he's like, all right, he saved the day. So I love the idea of Jurassic Park. I mean, the first one was great, but it just sort of, you know.
Slow. So did the scientists. Yeah. Man. I love the idea of it, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I mean, Jurassic Park 3 at that one, in that one, you have like a gymnast beating up a dinosaur with like cool kicks. And stuff.
In Jurassic World, you've got the two teenagers driving around in one of those pods, you know, just dodging. You know, it's like everyone else just getting stomped and crushed. They're just like evading it.
They play
you know.
Video games.
Yeah. So,
all right. Sorry to spoil Jurassic World.
It's one of those good spoils where people are like, if they were on the fence, they're like, all right, I'm probably not.
No, on the fence, that's the first one. Right? All right, there you go. I'm happy we did that for Twilight Night. Let's get to pick'em results. Cavs Bulls was the game. Cleveland was favored by 1.5, so it was a very close line. It's brought to you by BetMGM, of course. You know TK was taking the Bulls, and great pick, because they ended up winning, hitting the money line. Everybody else took Cleveland. So I'm 7-5. We got Tass and Trey at 5-7, and Lee, you are 4-8 here in the month of January. So tonight's game, Tass, where are we going? Only three on.
Three games. Let's go with one of the games in the TNT doubleheader. Okay. The Dallas Mavericks hosting the Phoenix Suns, and they are 2.5-point dogs at home, and I'm trapping myself. I'm in one of those pods, and I'm waiting for the Argentinosaurus or the Brazilosaurus or the Venezuelosaurus to come stomp on my ass. I'm getting trapped. I'm the only one taking the Dallas Mavericks at home to lose by 2 or less or outright win this thing. You guys are all taking the Suns, which is the right pick.
Okay. Yeah. Dallas, though, as we talked about, winning a lot of games here, but Phoenix still hasn't. They haven't even lost 10 games yet. They're not even double-digit losses in the L column. So we'll see. Okay, three of us taking the Suns by 2.5. Tass has the Mavs as the dogs.
Let's go,
couple
dogs.
Points to play with there. All right. Fun show. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here on the stream team or listening to the podcast later. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Maybe we'll do a little beach stepping on the Drop podcast tomorrow. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Go grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks and get some No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, we want you to tell us if we should do a show looking for dinosaurs. Would you watch a show about us looking for artifacts? I think that's interesting.
JD's backyard.
Yeah, what do you think? Anywhere. Right, let's go. Let's go to the South.
Let us know.
Like South America, I mean. We're in the South of the U.S., but.
Atlantosaurus.
Sounds like
Avalon. Who knows?
It'll be out here next week. You'll see. Embrace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.